in December of 2023, that's last December, the IUCN, that's the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, redesignated Atlantic salmon from least concern to endangered in the UK and near threatened in other parts of its range, including Ireland. Well, as you probably know, we have all sorts of experts on this programme, and one of them just happens to be a fisheries scientist by the name of Dr. Ken Whelan. And he sat down with myself and Dr. Richard Collins to explain the background to the story.
Yeah, it's a very worrying situation. It started really, I suppose, our today's story started last December. And there's a group called the IUCN, which is the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. And they're the body that are actually responsible for putting these designations in place. So when you hear about the white rhino, that has the classification of endangered. And you have other creatures then would be classified as near endangered. It's IUCN that actually take in the information and make those decisions. And in December last year, it really surprised us that the IUCN decided that the Atlantic salmon in the UK was endangered. We were really surprised at this. Not alone was the salmon in the UK endangered, but the Atlantic salmon throughout the rest of its range was redesignated as nearly threatened from a situation where it was of least concern was the designation it had before that. So certainly that was a real red flag that something was happening and something really serious was happening. And lo and behold, over the last few weeks, Norway has taken the unprecedented step of closing down over 30 of its major salmon rivers, which at this time of the year would be bringing in very large income to the people who own the rod fishing in Norway. And again, that's a very clear sign that we have a serious issue with our Atlantic salmon. The issue really, I think, is down to a combination of two things. Certainly, we have a major issue in terms of the survival of the fish at sea, and we've a really good index on this. So when the young salmon go out, we've several places around the North Atlantic that actually count the number of baby salmon that are going out to sea, and they count all of the adults that are coming back in. And say 30 years ago, 40 years ago, if you had 100 baby salmon going to sea, you could confidently expect that you'd have between 10 and 25 of them coming back as salmon. We now have as few as 5 and at times only 3 coming back from those 100 babies that go out. So there's obviously a very significant and serious issue at sea. In addition to that, we have a lot of problems in freshwater. And really, it's a combination of problems such as fish passage, where we have barriers in freshwater. We have problems, as we know, in terms of our water quality. We have problems in terms of drainage of our rivers. So all of these things are adding to the overall problem. So it's a combination of freshwater and marine. But we're certainly in a situation now where our salmon are under increasing pressure.
Are they dying at sea? Is something eating them?
This is the big question. So quite a number of different groups have been working on this now. We had a big programme that I spoke about here on the radio about 15 years ago now, called SALSEA, or the Salmon at Sea programme. And for the first time, we managed to actually get some ships from the Marine Institute in Ireland included. And having got this gift of the ships, we were actually able to follow these fish to sea for the very first time. And since then, we've been able to identify a few factors. We now have quite a good map of what we call the salmon highway. So this is only for the fish that are in Britain and Ireland and France and Spain, any of the southern stocks. But this highway goes right along the west coast of Ireland, right along the continental shelf and up to Norway. And that's the very first pathway that these little baby salmon follow when they go to sea. And we have evidence at this stage, and increasing evidence, that that first summer at sea seems to be where the problem is arising. And that's really what we're concerned about at the moment. What is causing these fish to die off? Could it be something, as you say, is eating them? Could it be that they have a disease? Could it be that they can't find enough food? So up to now, we really weren't sure what was happening.
Get the lead out, Ken, will you? Richard.
When you use the expression, you fisheries people, aggregations of host smolts along the continental shelf of Ireland, Scotland and Norway. That's an actual quotation from a recent paper. Do you mean that the smolts go out and they gather together and they have a kind of holiday off the west of Ireland and then move on to Scotland to have another holiday there and then move on to Norway? Or do they go onto a motorway and is it a continuous movement all the way up, or do we know?
I think we do know, actually, which is very interesting. So the most important thing to think about is what we scientists called energetics. A little fish goes to sea, as our baby salmon do, at maybe 12 centimetres. About a year later, we're expecting them fish to come back and they need to be between 55 and 60 centimetres. So if those fish are growing that much in 12 months, they really can't be using a huge amount of energy. They really have to be gaining energy for most of the trip. And that gives us the clue as to what is happening. So once these fish get into these big currents that are actually moving north and northeast up towards what we now know to be their first feeding ground off the northwest coast of Norway, they're actually within that motorway, but it's a moving motorway. And they can feed within the motorway, but if they're in the right position, they don't necessarily have to swim against any huge currents. They can actually use the currents to get to the spot where they're heading for.
Well, is the food supply along the motorway adequate? Are there enough way stations along the way, petrol stations where you could pull off and have a snack? Or is it poverty, famine all the way up?
Well, we now have at least the beginning, the glimmer of an answer to that. Because some colleagues of mine that work for the Missing Salmon Alliance, and as you know, I'm associated with the Atlantic Salmon Trust, and we're a member of this Missing Salmon Alliance. Some of the young and very brilliant scientists that we have in that group have just last week published this amazing paper. So these questions are obviously very, very difficult to answer. We're not out there. We're not actually seeing what these fish are feeding on. We're not seeing what is actually feeding on these fish. But because of what Sir Alistair Hardy did in the 1920s, we're actually now able to use an index that's giving us some bit of an answer to the question you've just posed. So the Sir Alistair Hardy Foundation and what's called the continuous plankton record, which stretches back to 1931, 9 decades of information on these tiny little creatures, these little crustacea called plankton that are in the ocean. And because of the data that we have from this continuous record, and because of the fact that these little plankton feed the actual fish larvae that our salmon feed on, these clever scientists have managed to come up with an index where they can actually show that because of the changes in the ocean since the 1960s, the actual abundance of these little creatures that are feeding or potentially should be feeding these little larvae that our salmon will feed on when they go to sea, that has never been lower in terms of its energy content. So that's really, really, really very worrying. And certainly some of the language that's used in the paper talking about dramatic declines. These are not usually words that scientists would use. So it's very substantial in terms of the change that's actually taking place off our west coast.
Well, now you're saying that the food has declined. Is it that the oxygen has declined because the sea is getting warmer and the water can't support as much oxygen as it used to be able to support in the same areas? And is this a displacement pushing further north into cooler waters?
These are things, again, that will have to be looked at into the future. Now, I should say that, and they're very clear about this in the paper, what they have at the moment is correlations. And scientists will always tell you that correlation is not causation. But at the same time, this to me is a smoking gun. And what we have known from our SALSI programme and from work since then, we have seen a situation where the waters around our west coast in Ireland, we're in a fantastic position to be able to monitor this. But the west coast of Ireland, the west coast of Scotland, we know that there are very significant changes in terms of temperature profiles, and certainly the marine heat wave that we had in Ireland last year was quite amazing, where the temperatures of our seas along the south coast and particularly off Donegal were hugely increased during the summer. So that means that the plankton that would be happily living in warm, basking in warm waters further south, have an opportunity to move north. And perhaps our other planktonic species that normally would live in our our average temperature seas around Ireland, they're moving north as well. So it may be that we're seeing an exchange in terms of plankton types. And some of these plankton may be the wrong size. They may be not as nutritious as the original plankton. These are all questions that now have to be looked into. But the fact that the energy levels have so significantly dropped in overall terms since the 1960s is really worrying.
So what you describe implies that it's not that they are heading for extinction, it is that they are moving northwards. It is the habitat is degraded down here now, but the habitat up at northern Norway and off Russia is probably still pristine. So the population of sand eels and sprat and these copepods and so on, they're all moving north, and so likewise are the salmon after it. And they won't become extinct on that model. They will simply be elsewhere. And if you want to see them in 50 years' time, you'll have to go to, what, the Kara Sea or the Ob River or someplace like that in northern Russia.
So we were very comfortable, and I think we discussed that, you and I, on the programme years ago, and I think I made those very points. Except, what have we seen now? We have seen the closure of rivers in Norway, the very place that I would have thought would have been at one of the remaining strongholds. And that's very worrying. The fact that they have closed their rivers, and again, we don't know why. We just know that the numbers coming back have been particularly low this year. But the fish that we're talking about in Norway, quite different to our own salmon. So salmon have a choice when they go to sea. They can come back after a year, as most of our salmon do, and they're about maybe, you know, between 4 and 6 pounds weight. Or they can stay at sea for 2 or perhaps even 3 years. And it's the 3 sea winter fish that seem to have disappeared in Norway. And that really is very worrying indeed, because that is one of the areas, as I say, that we would have thought would have been a remaining stronghold for quite a long time to come.
There was a factor you mentioned last time, and that was distance. You were saying that a smolt leaving a river down here had a very long way to swim up to off Greenland or Iceland or somewhere or northern Norway. I would have thought that the Norwegian ones would still be at a very great advantage because it's on their doorstep. They don't have so far to go. But now you tell me that the Norwegian ones, they are declining as well, and that is very ominous. They haven't a huge journey to make.
Well, the strange thing is that we don't actually know where the Russian and the Norwegian post-smolts go, not to any great extent. At least we have the beginnings of a map of our smolt highway, which, as I say, is great news for Ireland and for the UK and France and Spain. But with all the research that's been done, we don't have a lot of information about where the Norwegian and Russian salmon go. Interestingly, it's the southern rivers in Norway are the rivers that have been closed. So again, this is fascinating because this is real detective work. This will have to be looked into. Where exactly, as you say, these fish go, what's happening to the oceans in those particular areas. But I think the one thing that's coming across very clearly in all of our discussions at the moment in terms of our Atlantic salmon is that we definitely have a crisis. And the other thing is it is moving much faster than we would have thought. And we do not have time to sit around. So we really do have to try and take action to make sure that we are conserving as well as we can all of our very valuable populations of Atlantic salmon.
Dr. Ken Whelan, you can find out more details by visiting the website rte.ie/moon.